whether it's offshore or onshore.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us, Pratap Chatterjee and Michael Kianio-Karakpo, joining us from Oklahoma, where the shareholders meeting for Halliburton will be taking place tomorrow. And we will link to the CorpWatch report, which is at corpwatch.org, at our website, democracynow.org. That does it for the show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Shufa Bokadoush, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Frank Lopez, Jenny Utes. Mike DeFilippo is our engineer. Special thanks to Danielle Strandberg, Peshkin, Megan Whitney. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6:01. Time for a special edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. And last week at this time, I was not with you. In fact, we had a pre-recorded program on while I was in a mystery place. Well, now the mystery can be revealed. And in case you haven't already heard, I was down in Cuba. Yes, that's right, Cuba, the place you're not allowed to go. Well, I don't know. I always had a problem with people telling me where I can't go. But the fact of the matter is that I went there legally, legitimately. In the next hour, we're going to outline exactly how that came to be. And we're going to play some excerpts. This is actually the first of a couple of programs that will be focusing on what went on down in Cuba. Fascinating place. If you can figure out a way to get down there, I heartily suggest it because it's like going to another planet. It really is. The people are very friendly. The technology is very strange. The buildings are very nice. The only thing I really had a complaint about was the heat. The heat is oppressive, and it's only May. July is the hot month. So go figure that one out. So I was down there for about a week with Mike from Off the Hook. We actually did a live report last week on that radio program. That show isn't on this week, so next week we'll be doing a little bit more about the various things that we learned. On this hour, we're going to be focusing on... the first part of the show will be kind of the beginning of the trip, the uncertainty, not knowing what's going to happen as we actually start out at JFK. Yeah, we didn't go through Canada, we didn't go through Mexico or the Bahamas. We went right from the United States of America. Very unusual, doesn't happen very often. The only people who tend to do that on a regular basis are people who have relatives who live in Miami and get special permission to go over. So our plan was to go down to Miami via American Airlines and JFK. And from there, the next day, take another flight, a very short flight, from Miami to Havana. And all of this was kind of uncertain. We always figured something was going to go wrong at the last minute. And it really didn't. There were complications, and we'll go into that in a bit. Now, using the iRiver that I carry with me everywhere I go, I was able to record all sorts of things that normally you wouldn't be able to record. I didn't want to carry a big microphone around with me, so the sound quality of what you're going to hear isn't as good as it could be, but it's certainly okay. It's certainly good enough. So no complaining. In fact, I even somehow managed to leave the thing on while I was getting an additional screening at the JFK security gate. Whoops. So you'll hear a little bit of that. You'll hear us getting on the flight. You'll hear us heading down to Florida in the first leg of the trip. But before we get into any of that, we're going to hear some music from Son de Cuba, which was one of the many bands playing in the streets of Havana. We're also going to be hearing some radio from Havana as well. Our email address, otw@2600.com. And now, Off the Wall goes to Cuba.
Yeah. check the directory for the location of your airline. The final stop for this train will be Station D, Jamaica Station.
Okay, it's about a half hour before my plane leaves. I'm just arriving at the terminal now, and I'm going to be meeting up with Mike. I really cut things close. But hopefully, this won't be too difficult. I'm walking on the moving sidewalk now. We'll see if this goes smoothly. Okay, I'm hoping I see Mike soon, because I'm running kind of late. And I'd sure like to be able to check in without too much of a hassle. Ah, here we are. Hey, Mike, say hello to the listeners.
Hi, listeners.
We just arrived. Oh, I just arrived. You've been here a while, but we're cutting kind of close, aren't we?
Yeah, we should go.
We should probably go. Do you know where to go?
Yeah, that way.
That way. Let me get the boarding pass, which I printed out earlier today. And I'm happy to say the boarding passes do not have S's on them.
Yet.
Although, as I said, I took the liberty of writing some S's on yours just to see what would happen. Let's see. That's you and that's me. For some reason, there's a duplicate that prints, too. Sometimes they close the flights before the flights take off, so we have to make sure that they don't do that to us. So where exactly do we go? Straight ahead? Okay. It's like a mile away.
Can
I put my hat back on?
Everything else, yeah. You can take a seat there if you want to put on your shoes and all that.
Can I put my shoes back on?
Yeah.
All right.
Excuse me, sir.
You have a bag out there, sir? He has your bag right there.
Is it like a white and greenish bag?
A white and greenish bag?
A knapsack, yeah.
I see we ran some tests on your video.
That's right. Yep. Come on. All done with this? All right.
What's that stuff you're putting on?
It's just supposed to take off the material.
Okay. It's not going to leave something on it, is it?
No.
All
right. No, it's going to burn it off whenever it takes some air.
It's just, you know, computers are very temperamental.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay. All done?
Everything's done.
Great.
Doesn't take that long.
All right, thanks.
Have a good flight. You're
welcome. How what?
I had to go over there.
Group number
what do you mean?
Six.
Group number six. What does that mean?
What that means?
Group four.
We're class Q, group four.
You have to have a boarding pass.
We have a boarding pass.
Group number six,
yeah.
Passengers calling group number six.
Did they already call four, or are they going backwards or forwards?
Yeah, they already.
They already called four? Oh, okay. Let's go. Well, I was four. They were six, all right? I was entitled to walk ahead of them. But I didn't even see them. That was the quickest. All right, so I've made enemies on the flight.
Yeah.
But that was the quickest boarding I think I've ever had. There's always somebody right in front of you that has to take their time putting their bag up in the compartment. You can see my seat. Oh, man, there's screaming babies on this flight. All right, I'm sitting here with Mike on the first leg of the trip from JFK Airport to Miami, and it's our hope that we'll fly from Miami to Havana. We have a ticket, right, Mike?
Yes.
All right, but that's not all you need. You got to fill out, 3 hours of paperwork tomorrow?
The flight is at noon. You got to get there at 9 and fill out paperwork.
Okay, so we have that to look forward to, but
not,
then...
Not to mention all the paperwork we already filled out just to get the ticket.
Oh, God, yeah. We have it. We have a ticket.
Yeah.
But then, once we arrive, there's this... I don't want to say complication, but it's... Well, it is, isn't it? I mean, We're leaving out of Miami as journalists because that's how we're going. We're doing the stories on Cuban life and technology, things like that. But the problem is we weren't able to get a journalist visa from Cuba. Why is that exactly?
The person in the U.S. In the Cuban interest section in Washington, which is not an embassy because there's no Cuban embassy in the United States, but as far as I can tell, it's the same thing. Anyway, he doesn't answer his phone.
So Cuban interest doesn't seem to have much interest in Cuban affairs.
No.
Doesn't it? No answering machine?
There is, but they don't return calls.
So you've been calling this guy trying to get a journalist visa that we need to get there, and it just got to the point where we weren't going to get it in time, even though we already had the ticket.
Yeah. Right? So now we have a tourist card.
Got a tourist card, which is what tourists used to get in, but the problem is, how many tourists come from Miami? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. The big moment of crisis is going to be when they say to us, in somewhat broken English, what is the purpose of your visit? And what do we say? Have we figured this out yet?
No, we haven't.
Oh, boy. All right, well, this might be an interesting little trip to Florida. But there's also the possibility that we could just go there, be denied entry, come back, and then get prosecuted for going over there.
Anything's possible.
So we could get the worst of both worlds.
It will give you, the Americans and the Cubans something to agree on, which is really all that it's about.
We could unite the two sides in how to prosecute us. And just to be clear, the prosecution, we're facing, what, $50,000 for violating the embargo, is it? By spending money to get there or something? And then there's the Trading with the Enemies Act. That's another $250,000 plus 10 years in prison. So we're looking at a grand total of $300,000 plus, do you have to pay tax on that? I think you do. And then 10 years in prison minus time for good behavior. So this might be the last show you hear for a while. In fact, I don't know how I'm going to edit this, but we'll have to figure that out later.
Well, someone else can edit it.
But it is our intention and our belief that we are going about this completely legally and that we are going as journalists because there are many things that we wish to cover and analyze and send out to our listeners, to our readers.
I have signed letters and everything.
Signed letters, people attesting that we are journalists. Didn't work too well for me in the NYPD in 2004, at least not on the scene. Afterwards, they kind of agreed that, yeah, you're a journalist. But, hell, you got to try this. And, you know, I got to give you credit, Mike, for sticking with this and trying it. Not very many people would do that.
Well, it's very, I like to fill out forms.
Filling out forms is fun. It's just, you know, it's...
I'm not so good at the calling people, though. I don't like that part.
But how many of our fellow Americans will honestly be able to say, I was in Castro's Cuba? You know, that's what I think is going to be the coolest thing. And Castro's 80 years old this year. So, I mean, it's rude not to go down and, you know, at least shake his hand and say congratulations for making it to 80. So that'll be fun.
When does he turn 80?
It's later in the year. Well, the Queen turned 80, and he's next. That's my understanding.
No.
So... The Queen of England, that is, not the Queen of Cuba.
The seatbelt sign is eliminated. Please take your seats as quickly as possible. All carry-on luggage must go underneath the seat in front of you on an overhead compartment. For those passengers seated in a designated exit row, you may be called upon to open that exit in the event of an emergency. Please refer to the safety briefing card or exit row information card located in your seat pocket to ensure you meet the exit row criteria and understand the information. If you are unable or unwilling to open an exit, please contact a flight attendant. At this time, all electronic devices must be stowed until after takeoff. Cellular phones are not permitted for use throughout the flight.
I guess this is an electronic device then.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have it on.
Yeah.
All right. Keep it off.
And so we turned the electronic device off and did not cause any flight problems at all. We arrived in Florida. Folks, I cannot stress enough, Florida is a vile place where you can never get around without a car. It's like the California of the East, but that's a whole other show we'll get into in the future. This is Off the Wall Goes to Cuba, and in the next segment, you'll find that we've actually arrived in Cuba. You'll hear a little bit of Cuban radio and then some commentary from the streets of Havana. All of this recorded off the iRiver that is able to record radio stations as well as has a little condenser mic that allows you to speak into it without people realizing that you're speaking into a microphone and causing all kinds of confusion and bureaucracy. And now, arrival in Havana.
Well, we got up really early in the morning to make it to the airport and didn't quite know what to expect. Of course, we wound up waiting on the wrong line right away. Then we got directed to a literally a nameless terminal where all these people were waiting online, speaking Spanish, no signs anywhere, and it took about 10 minutes, but we got seen by a couple of nice ladies who took our information, made us wait on another line, and then we got boarding passes. And I should point out, both of our boarding passes have big S's all over them, so we're going to get searched even more as we go through security. So that's going to be a whole lot of fun. But we do have seats on this plane. We have our boarding passes in hand. I'd have to say at this point, we're definitely going to Cuba. Whether they let us in once we're there, that's another matter. But as of this moment, sitting in the terminal waiting to go through security, we're definitely going to be on that plane. This is going to be interesting.
Please see the agent at D35, B as in Bravo.
So I'm sitting here in the American Eagle passenger lounge, and we just went through intensive screening with all kinds of cool machines. They put you through this little device that blows air on you, and apparently, I was watching the computer display on that, it basically collects samples and then analyzes the samples looking for explosive residue. Then they sit you down and they go through your bags. You have to put your laptop and your camcorder separately. And then there's this other machine next to that called a plasmagram. I'm not quite sure what the plasmagram is all about. The machine that we went through, though, that puffs the air at you is made by General Electric. I think it's Entry. Mike, you remember the name of the machine? GE Entry Scan? Is that what it was? Yeah, I think it was Entry Scan by GE. Nice device. Wouldn't mind having one of those. Actually, you know, I don't think it took very much longer for us to be intensively scanned than it did for everybody else who was waiting on the long line who wasn't being intensively scanned. And I also think that everybody on the Havana flight got four S's on their boarding pass, which is kind of interesting. So the entire flight is being screened. Anyway, so we've made it to the lounge where we're going to wait to board our flight. So it should be interesting from this point on.
Welcome to Havana. For your safety, please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened until the aircraft has come to a complete stop at the gate and the seatbelt sign has been turned off. Please keep the aisle clear of all personnel below.
Esta es la COCO-CMSK, el periódico del aire. Transmitiendo por los 980 kHz de onda media y los 91.7 MHz de frecuencia modulada desde el Radiocentro Foxa en Ciudad de La Habana. Y 30 de la mañana, por la COCO-CMSK, es tiempo para escuchar Favoritos de Siempre.
Hola, amigas y amigos de la COCO. Como cada mañana, por los 980 de amplitud modulada y los 91.7 de frecuencia modulada, ya les corremos el tour de los recuerdos para que disfruten de la música de su preferencia. En nuestra portada traemos a Ney Rivera con la Orquesta Casino en este tema de Virgilio González Solar, Tú para mí. Acompáñenos.
Voy a hablar con tu mamá, voy a decirle ahora mismo. y viviremos los dos, tú para mí, yo para ti, y viviremos los dos.
Well, here we are. We're in the streets of Cuba, the streets of Havana, to be a bit more specific. Mike, we actually made it.
That's true. We've been here for almost a week now.
Almost a full week. We've had all kinds of adventures and learning experiences, and we're doing a lot of investigation, too, into various manners of technology and just social issues and things like that. But first, let's just discuss a little bit what we weren't able to talk about on Off the Hook, which... The reason we weren't able to do that was because we were here at the time live, and now we're playing this back. Presumably, we're back in the States. Actually, let me just make sure we're back in the States. Emmanuel of the Present, are you actually there in the studio?
Yes.
I didn't hear that. Did anybody hear anything? Emmanuel, are you there?
Yes, damn it.
Okay, I heard that.
There's a screaming child.
There was a screaming child passing by, but Emmanuel sounded a little bit perturbed. Okay, well, let's get back here live to Havana. Well, actually, we're not live. We're recording this on Friday. What day is today?
The 12th.
I was afraid it was the 13th for a second.
No, that's tomorrow.
We're in a very busy street. Actually, not quite as busy as it could be, because there are huge throngs of people just down the road a little bit. What's this street called? Do you know offhand?
I think this is La Calle Obispo.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the ones that all the tourists seem to walk down. There are little cafes around, always bands breaking out in music.
And then jackhammering.
Jackhammering, which is another form of music. All sorts of shops down this road a bit. But we actually came here as journalists. And in order to do that, we had a very unique way of traveling to Cuba, which most people from the States don't really experience. Most people who go to Cuba from the States either go through Canada or through Mexico or through some other country.
Here the Bahamas are popular.
Bahamas are popular as well. And I guess technically that's the illegal way to do it, correct?
Well, it could be legal or illegal, but most people who go are doing so illegally.
Now, when we say illegal, perhaps we should define those terms a little bit. Illegal insofar as the United States embargo against Cuba dictates.
The Trading with the Enemy Act.
It's just incredible to me that these people are considered the enemy, but that's the way it is right now. So what we did, we went about it a completely different way because we are journalists. We do work for WBAI, WUSB, Off the Hook, Off the Wall, 2600 Magazine, and there are many, many different angles that we can look at this. And phones are one thing, media is another thing, the internet, the computers, all sorts of facts that we are not getting the straight story from the mainstream. And that's something that we're hoping we can help out and tell people about. So we came here as journalists, but in so doing, we had to go through all sorts of jump ropes and hoops and what have you.
We're not done yet.
We're not done yet, no. We still have to get by. We still have to get back. Hello. That woman just stopped and snapped her fingers a few times. I don't know, were we supposed to do something and perhaps join her in a dance? Is that what that was about? She didn't seem to be asking for anything, just snapping her fingers. It's great. We just had a guy come by here, the can guy, as I call him. He has a long white beard, and he has cans. What do they do exactly?
He has formed the cans into devices that look like cameras. I shouldn't say devices, the artworks, maybe. And you can press a button, and it pops out. No batteries, he told me.
No batteries, because it doesn't really do anything. It doesn't take pictures.
Look, I'll have none of these details.
so we have the guy coming by to sell us the newspaper. Now, tell us something about the newspaper.
The newspaper is called Granma.
And it's spelled like grandma without the D.
Right, except once in the... There's also an English edition, and at least once in the issue we have, they spelled it with the D, so even they don't know.
Well, that's the English version. They don't know the Spanish version, yeah. I guess. But the Spanish version is grandma, and that's the daily organ of the Cuban Communist Party, I believe.
That's right.
Okay, and within these pages, which are... How many per day?
Eight pages. Except when Fidel Castro gives a speech.
Oh, boy.
Then they publish the speech in its entirety, and that can be as many as eight more pages.
And those pages, when they do print them, have no graphics, no pictures, just text and text and text.
No, sometimes there are pictures.
Not with the speeches. I didn't see any with the speeches.
I think we have two copies with speeches, and one has pictures.
Okay. Well, not very many pictures, and not very many pages.
Probably depends on how long the speech is.
True.
If they need to fill the space with pictures or not.
If there is not a speech, though, the newspaper is, what, eight pages long?
Eight pages, yeah.
Eight pages.
No ads.
Well, that doesn't surprise me somehow. So we've been picking that up. Now, what do you pay for this? How do we go? We go to a newsstand or something? How does it work?
English?
Sorry?
No people English?
A little bit. Oh, we have that already. That's the English version. We have that. We have the Spanish version too. We have both.
We have it.
Yeah. Sorry. Not much point buying it a second time if I've already bought it once.
Yeah.
That's how you get it though. The newspaper guy comes around to you and tries to sell it to you. Now, how do you pay for it exactly?
Well, there's two kinds of money in this country. One is the convertible peso, which is worth about a dollar. And
I'm sorry?
Where are you from?
We're from New York.
The guy?
He's from New York too.
The city never sleeps, always awake.
What?
The city never sleeps, always awake.
The city that never sleeps, correct.
Me speak English. Yes. How many days in Cuba?
How many days in Cuba? About six.
I think you good guy because I see your face, the sun, the under the sky.
You see my face, huh? I stand out here.
Cuba community, the government is very bad, you know?
Government's bad?
I mean, always feeling more, so the life is very short.
Yeah. Well, Castro's 80 years old now, right?
Big guy, he no pay. People work very hard. Yeah. Sweat tomorrow, every month, take $5 Cuba.
It's weird, you know, we've been approached a couple of times by people and almost...
A couple of times.
Okay, but I mean people that we've had more than just a quick conversation with. And they seem to volunteer their feelings about the current regime, about Castro, and how much they dislike it. I don't know, it's not what I was expecting. I was expecting not to get that kind of viewpoint so readily.
Mm.
But then, of course, one of them proceeded to rip us off, but we'll talk about that later. So getting back to where we were, this is the newspaper that you pay how much to get?
I pay about 4 cents, U.S. cents, the equivalent. The cover price is 1/5 of that, but... I don't know where you're actually supposed to buy it. There's just these people walking around that are kind of pushing it up on me, so.
Yeah, they seem to be kind of aggressive as far as that goes.
No.
I mean, they just kind of like walk up to you and thrust it in your face. And one time, though, they refused to sell it to you.
I couldn't understand what that was about. I wanted to get a copy of the English edition, which I did later get. But this guy had it, and he wouldn't sell it to me. I don't really know what was going on.
And then another time, I think somebody wanted some extra money for himself after you already paid for the
newspaper. The English edition cost 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't about to pay five times that, as I, you know, the standard five times markup. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, we did see. I got it. So.
It's
very interesting that the masthead of this newspaper contains all sorts of information. In addition to the date, it informs you every day that this is the year of the energy revolution in Cuba. And it also tells you that at what time the paper closed the previous day. So like 3 a.m. or 3:30 or 4. You know, it changes by a little bit each day, so you really know that your paper's up to the minute, up to what minute.
That's interesting, because I don't know how much happens at 3 o'clock in the morning here.
I think not much.
Not much at all, so I don't know if it really makes a difference if the paper closes at 3 or 3:30, but it's more information we get from the New York Times, I'll say that, as far as what time they actually close.
And it also says the only edition. It's not like the New York Times with the early edition and the late edition and all these editions.
Yeah. Now, continuing with media, I do want to get back to the to how we actually got here, but let's first talk about the media a little bit. We have the daily newspaper, and that is, of course, the only daily newspaper.
No, there's another one.
Is there another one?
There's another one.
Well, we've never seen that one, have we?
Yeah, it's hard to get.
Tell me about that, the alternative newspaper.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It's called Juventud Rebelde, which means like rebelling youth or something, and it's the official output of the youth wing of the Communist Party.
I see. Well, we must get a copy of that.
Oh, I'll try.
I haven't seen that one being sold. I've seen lots of things being sold. Cigars, postcards, ice cream cones.
More cigars.
You know, I have to say, I don't know. I don't think we're allowed to smoke cigars while we're here. I think the U.S. government actually has a restriction saying if you do go to Cuba and you are allowed to go to Cuba for whatever reason, you may not smoke a cigar,
I don't know if that's the case or not.
I've been told that. I think if it's true, it's the silliest thing, and I think the embargo is the silliest thing too, so it's possible it is true. But regardless, any desire I had to smoke a cigar has evaporated many times over because of the aggressiveness with people are hawking cigars at us constantly. It never stops. And I don't know. I don't think smoking a cigar is particularly refreshing, and it's really, really hot and sweaty outside. It's not something I look forward to. Continuing with media stuff, though, we discovered that there are four television stations.
Yes.
Two of them educational.
Yes.
And two of them...
Educational Channel 1 and 2.
Educational Channel 1, Educational Channel 2. What were the other ones called?
Cuba Vision.
Okay.
And TV Rebelde, Rebellion TV.
Rebellion TV?
Yeah. That's the one that shows the sports games.
It sounds really hip and cool, but I guess it's kind of dry and dull.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, hey, the can guy is coming back. He's got his cans there. We see this guy all over the place. He's heading right for us because we must look like a bunch of suckers. Yeah, you know, we don't really need it, though. Thank you.
Salud.
And even if we did need it, we couldn't take it back with us. That's the other thing. We're not allowed to bring anything back from here other than informational material or
CDs, that sort of thing. Microfilm and microfiche are allowed.
If we can actually get our hands on microfilm and microfiche, you're saying we can take that back with us?
Oh, yes.
That, to me, seems like the most suspicious possible thing you could possibly take back from Cuba, but all right.
Are you asking me to defend the, policies, because that's very hard to do?
No, I don't think anybody can actually do that, but you say CDs also are allowed, so we can... Any one of these hundreds of bands that we keep passing by, each of which apparently has its own recording contract, or at least the ability to record a CD, we can buy those CDs and bring them back with us, and that's considered information.
Yes.
All right. I can live with that. But no, anything else, little trinkets or souvenirs of various sorts, you're not allowed to bring those back. I wonder, I've been sending postcards out. I assume that's not illegal. I didn't even think about that.
I think it's okay.
All right, now what if I buy postcards and I don't send them out? What if I bring them with me?
Isn't that
considered the same thing?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling we're going to find out.
You the number of the lawyer. You can call him up and ask.
Oh, we're going to be calling that lawyer, I'm sure of that. Okay, so getting back to how we actually got here. We didn't go by way of Canada or by Mexico or by the Caribbean or any of the other places. We went from Florida. That's
Miami.
Miami. Florida is only 80 miles away from here.
The Keys, yeah.
The Keys, which, yeah, I guess stretches out quite a bit more than Florida. But still, it's amazing to think how close the actual country of the United States is to Cuba. Most people, the vast majority of people, don't go that way. You know, they don't go through Florida through the close logical way. It only takes, like, what, 45 minutes to fly here?
I think like an hour on this little tiny plane.
Well, we had the Puke Express, I guess is what you want to call it, because everybody was simply retching and hurling as we were landing. It was awful. I've never seen such a bumpy ride. Actually, it was rather smooth until we got to over Cuba, where we were starting to descend.
Yeah.
And then all these people, the landing took a very long time. It took like 20 minutes. And one by one, everyone just seemed to fall.
Well, a few people.
Well, especially the ones in front of us.
Yeah.
The stewardess, who apparently was the only person in that whole airplane that didn't speak Spanish at all, her and me. She was running back and forth.
Forget about the whole airplane, the whole city of Miami.
Yeah, everybody in Miami seems to speak Spanish. This stewardess, who I think was faking it, I think she was fluent in the language, but she had a big Midwestern accent and was completely oblivious. But she was running back and forth with her hands over her head, saying, "Oh my God, we have to help this person. She's vomiting all over her clothes. We must get her blankets." And never use blankets from airlines, because now you know what they've been through in previous lives. So yeah, and as soon as she took care of one person, apparently somebody else needed help. And of course, this was while the plane was bouncing all over the place. She was leaving the ground a few times herself. So yeah, it was a very rough and bumpy ride, but the weirdest part for us, of course, was actually just leaving Florida on the way to Cuba, because nobody else does that. Only about, I think we had 40 people on our plane. That's it for the day.
I think it can hold 80.
It can hold 80, but it wasn't full.
No, I think during the slightly less hot months, it's more full.
Yeah, so we were in that situation. We showed up at Miami International, I think, 3 hours before our flight actually had to leave.
Yeah.
And we were directed to this completely nondescript area that had no name, no labels of any sort. We were just told to go there by various people.
Right. You have to have a boarding pass, of course, to pass through security. But we didn't know how to get one, because this is a charter flight. So we just tried to go through without one. And they were the ones that tell us, "Oh, you have to go to this unmarked counter over there where the Cuba people go." It's very strange.
And we went there. They were actually quite helpful. They processed us. You know, keep in mind, we were convinced that something was going to happen. We weren't going to be able to get in at some point. We were pretty sure we were going to make it to the island of Cuba. But after that, it was kind of up in the air. Reason for this, as I mentioned, we went as journalists. And what that involves, there are a couple ways you can go. You can apply for a specific license, or you can apply for something known as a general license. The general license requires no paperwork to speak of. And what you basically do is you make an affidavit of sorts that you are a journalist, that you're working on behalf of some entity. You go there, and you file your story, you do your research, you come back, and if there are any issues, apparently that's when they're raised. Problem is, that was the easy part, believe it or not, although it did take quite a lot of paperwork and quite a few months to do this. The hardest part, though, was trying to contact the Cuban government, because, well, Mike, you tried to contact a particular person who was supposed to give us what's known as the journalist visa.
Yeah, the press visa.
The press
Cuban
visa.
Press visa. And there's this guy whose name is Lázaro Herrera, who works in the Cuban interest section, which is what they have instead of an embassy in Washington, D.C. But he doesn't really like to answer his phone or return voicemail or respond to email or anything. So it's very hard. And then, I have a contact in the Cuban UN mission in New York, which can't really issue these visas, but maybe if they would answer the phone, I could get somewhere. And they have the worst phone system ever. You can't actually leave messages for individuals, only in this general mailbox. There's no operator. It's terrible. So that didn't go anywhere either.
So here we were. We were stuck, because we had the tickets, we had everything all filed. The only thing we didn't have was a piece of paper that the Cuban authorities wanted, saying that we had a journalist visa or a press visa. Now, part of the problem with that is that in addition to having to prove to the United States that you are a journalist so you can go, once you get to Cuba, they're suspicious of journalists, so you might get turned away because of the fact that you're a journalist. So it's a real catch-22 situation. So we had to worry about that. And we had to worry about the fact we weren't able to get the journalist visa because the guy wasn't answering his phone or returning the messages. We had the tickets. We paid for them. Everything was all arranged. What were we going to do? Well, as it turns out, it's very simple to get a tourist card. Everybody gets one. And we got a couple from the agency that we bought the tickets from. The only problem with that was that we're telling the Cuban government one thing, we're telling the American government something else.
And the thing that we're telling the Cuban government is also impossible.
Yeah, it is impossible because, think about it, we're arriving from Florida, all right, and we're presenting tourist visas, tourist cards. It doesn't make any sense because in order to do that, we'd have to somehow fool the U.S. government. Okay, that's not too hard to do, but it's such an obvious lie because if we were to come back with these tourist cards, or having used the tourist cards, the U.S. government would be all over us saying, well, not only did you violate the embargo, but you did it right under our noses in Florida. So our only hope was that they wouldn't notice this, and that we'd somehow be able to slip under the radar. And up until the day we left, we were wondering, what were we going to say when they asked us what's the purpose of our...
Until the day we left, up until, like, we were safely out of the airport.
What were we going to say when they asked us the purpose of our visit?
I don't know. I made something up.
What did you say?
I don't know.
Well, I made something up.
Here's the thing in my situation. I speak a little bit of Spanish, and the person who was interviewing me decided that this was enough Spanish that the interview would be conducted in Spanish. However, I was pretty much unable to answer any or even understand any question. So I think it really worked to my advantage, actually, because she couldn't figure out what was going on, but figured out it was probably fine.
Well, you had it easy compared to me. I went through a similar questioning by passport control. Was it passport control the first one and customs the second one? I think
That's
how it works. Yeah, passport control. Very nice woman. Exchanging all sorts of pleasantries. I spoke no Spanish at all, so she did her best to get through English. And very, very full of smiles and friendly. First time in Cuba, yes. Very hot, oh yes. Temperature is very hot. What's it like in New York? Blah, blah, blah. Things like that. And then that was it. She stamped my tourist card. They don't stamp your passport. I'm going to try to get them to stamp my passport on the way out, only because I want that stamp. I'm not embarrassed to be here, and I'll tell everybody that I've been here, even if it means taking several hours to enter the country every time I come back. I want that stamp in my passport. So I went through the door, and guess what they have on the other side of the door? They have a metal detector as you enter the country. Yeah, apparently they're concerned about people flying here from the United States and bringing weapons with them, or bombs, or God knows what.
Which has actually happened. It's not completely loopy.
On a commercial airline?
Apparently.
Wow. Well, okay, we'll see if it happens on the way back to the U.S.
I mean, it's mostly loopy, don't get me wrong, but it's not completely loopy.
So that's the first thing we had to do, was go through the metal detector to get into the country. Now, I guess at that point the decision was made that you were okay and I was suspicious, which is usually what happens. I should be used to it by now. So I was given a piece of paper to hand to the people at the very end of the line, the people that actually let you into the country. And so you got to go one way and I got to go to another way, where I had to face exactly what I was afraid of, questions by a guy who wanted to know, how could I be here on a tourist card if I came from Florida? Where is the paperwork with my permit? And I tried to hobble through this as best I could. Well, you see, it's a general license. There's no paperwork involved. So he asked, well, what was I doing here? I couldn't say journalist. If I said journalist, that would lead to problems because I didn't have the journalist credentials for Cuba, and they're suspicious of journalists. He could easily have just sent me back based on that. So he asked me, what do you work in? Now, if you work for a company known as 2600 Enterprises, that's good because it could mean anything. And so basically I tried to be as vague as possible. I said, well, I'm involved in telephones and computers and technology. Hello?
Yeah,
you are. No, thank you. I don't...
No, my baby, Che Guevara.
You're giving us money. Okay.
No, Che Guevara.
Uh-huh.
Che Guevara.
Che Guevara.
Che Guevara.
It's a coin with Che Guevara on it. Thank you.
Che Guevara, güey.
Tres pesos.
Che Guevara.
Che Guevara.
Che Guevara.
I've got the feeling he's going to want something for this. It's a present. Gracias. Gracias. How do you say goodbye?
No, mira.
All right.
Un peso para comer.
Uh-huh. Now, here comes the...
1 peso.
The sale. He wants
one
a peso in exchange for this.
No, no.
No, gracias, gracias.
One baby.
All right. You have to learn to say no sometimes, and it's painful, but it has to be done. Wait a few minutes as he hobbles away.
So though we were given 3 national pesos in exchange for 1 dollar valued peso.
We'll get into the money thing in a bit. It's
a preview of the explanation.
But it had Che Guevara on the 3 peso. Yeah. That's a 3 peso coin?
3 peso coin.
All right. Anyway, so here I am being questioned by this guy as to exactly what it is that I do. So I say, you know, I work with telephones, I work with computers, technology, which is true. You know, I'm trying not to lie here. But then it sort of got out of hand. He says, ah, engineer. It's like, oh boy. Yeah, okay, an engineer. I'm a social engineer at least. So I guess I'm still not lying. And it just sort of kept spiraling out of control from there. I became a technician. I became an engineer. I just was all these things I really wasn't. And I couldn't tell him what I really was. So I kept coming back to, okay, well, so where's the permit? And I'm applying the rule of the general license to a technician now, to an engineer, to somebody interested in education. And I felt horrible doing this, but, you know, it's the only way. If he had even called one of his superiors, it would have been over. So the fact of the matter was that this guy was friendly. I was being friendly to him, trying to seem as incompetent as possible, which, believe me, is not that difficult.
Meanwhile, I was just standing
there. You were standing there, and I think that might have helped, because I said I was with somebody else, and there was this nice tourist lady who came by, too, who was supposed to meet us. I didn't even know about this. She was supposed to meet us to take us to our hotel. And so eventually, after, I think, it felt like a lifetime, but I think it was about 10 minutes, after that time had gone by, he just sort of, I think, gave up because he didn't know what to do with me. And I seemed harmless enough. He'd gone through my bags, gone through all my luggage. And thank God, we had done this in Miami. I had separated out all the papers that didn't specifically work in Cuba. The ones that had anything saying journalist on them, I separated and put them in an envelope and gave that envelope to you. Now, this could have backfired horribly if you had been the person going through what I was going through. But he searched my bag and didn't find anything that was untoward in any sense. If he had found that envelope there, I assume it would have been all over. You know, not, you know, execution or anything like that. I mean, being sent back or being put somewhere else I didn't want to be put. It would have been bad. So fortunately, he searched for everything. Everything that was in there kind of correlated to what I said. It was cameras and computer and wires and things like that, and clothes. And all the paperwork supported what I was saying. So, yeah, it didn't make any sense, but it wasn't an outright lie either. So that, combined with you two standing there looking sort of impatient, waiting for me to get through already, and I guess maybe the fact that there wasn't a superior hanging around to actually really interrogate me.
See, they seem at least to have the opposite policy of the United States, where the U.S. policy is like, assume anyone entering the country is up to no good, and it's up to them to prove otherwise. And if there's confusion, they get sent back. Whereas it seems at least like the confusion worked for them and they let us in.
Yeah.
Cuba.
It was. They seemed very friendly. Just wanted to figure it out.
Moderately friendly.
They were smiling. They were. I didn't really feel intimidated at any point. I guess I was sort of in shock. I really wanted to get into the country. And it was the first time I'd ever been to a place like this. And I think they might have sensed my naivete and just sort of figured that I might be incompetent and let me deal with the U.S. authorities later, because they're the ones that are really going to give it to me, because I didn't have the proper paperwork. Unbeknownst to them, I did have the proper paperwork, just not for them. So, yeah, that's how I got into Cuba. It was quite a story.
And that was part one of Off the Wall Goes to Cuba. Next time, we'll be focusing some more on Cuban technology. For more info, check out www.2600.com/Cuba. Email us at otw@2600.com. Till next week, it's Emmanuel Goldstein. Good night.
Lleva en su alma mi esencia, aunque quiera resistirse a la verdad. Esa es su naturaleza, esconde su dolor en su sonrisa, pero tanto amor no se termina, quedan lágrimas y heridas que no se pueden sanar. Quiere ser amada, ser querida, para con otro no se olvida, que sabe quien quiere amar. No enfrenta la verdad con la razón, no quiere oír después de tanto amor, porque fingir me burlo a mí. Thank you.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.